Leviticus chapter 9. Now it came about on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, Take for yourself a calf, a bull for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defect, and offer them before the Lord. Then to the sons of Israel you shall speak, saying, Take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord shall appear to you. So they took what Moses had commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the whole congregation came near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Moses then said to Aaron, Come near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, that you may make atonement for yourself and for the people. Then make the offering for the people, that you may make atonement for them, just as the Lord has commanded. So Aaron came near to the altar and slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And Aaron's sons presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put some of the horns on the altar and poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar, the fat in the kidneys and the lobe of the liver of the sin offering. He then offered up in smoke on the altar just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin, however, he burned with fire outside the camp. Then he slaughtered the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around on the altar. And they handed the burnt offering to him in pieces with the head, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. He also washed the entrails and the legs and offered them up in smoke with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he presented the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and slaughtered it and offered it for sin like the first. He also presented the burnt offering and offered it according to the ordinance. Next he presented the grain offering and filled his hand with some of it and offered up in smoke on the altar besides the burnt offering of the morning. Then he slaughtered the ox and the ram, the sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around in the altar. As for the portions of fat from the ox and from the ram, the fat tail and the fat covering, and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver, they now placed the portions of fat on the breasts, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh Aaron presented as a wave offering before the Lord, just as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, and he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. And Moses went into the tent of meeting, and they came out and blessed the people. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat in the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Amen. So if you remember the chapter before, they have 7 days of the ordination. And God through Moses is installing the high priest Aaron and his sons to be the priesthood for the Israelites. And so remember, it was a public demonstration. And then we move on from that. So they spent 7 days, and now it's after the 7 days are over at the end of chapter 8, and now it's the eighth day, and Moses calls Aaron and his sons and all the elders of Israel. They gather together, and then he tells Aaron to actually make a sacrifice for himself first and foremost. Now, in reading this, we will totally miss out on exactly what God is saying. See, almost every religion up to this point, their high priest or whoever was the emissary for God to the people, and during this time, almost every religion, they were considered to be like God. We look at these guys come out of Egypt, and you have Ramses, the Pharaoh. And he is, in their view, he is God. And so, if you're going to be actually correct about it, he's God's absolute representative, or Ra, which would be their God, absolute representative on earth. And so that was basically the priesthood system at work there, that if they were God, if that's how their religion stated, then they were God, or they were the incarnate version of God on earth represented before all the people. And so, whatever Pharaoh said, that was it. whatever, you know, different religion, whatever the high priest or the emissary said, that was it. And so they were deemed, in essence, just about perfect. Now we come to the Jewish system of religion and the Jewish system of sacrifice and all these things. And their view on ministers or high priests is actually very, very different. And it's interesting, you know, in verse 8, he says, so Aaron came near the altar, and then he slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Now, he could have chosen, and most, and if you look through the text, most offerings, animals, is actually the bull for the sin offering. But Moses particularly chooses a calf. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, if we go back a little bit to Exodus, remember what Aaron did. It was probably his most grievous sin is he created a golden calf. And there's some sense of identification for Aaron that he also is, it's, you know, I'm not saying he did this specifically, but there's something at play here. Aaron himself reminding himself that even though he's stepping into this office, that he is still feeble. He is still has an incredible proclivity towards sin. And thus he sacrifices the calf. Now it's really important for us to recognize, you know, yesterday I spent some time talking about, in some ways, the lack of respect for ministers. You know, I spent some time talking about that in our generation, we've lost a lot of respecting our authorities, and you know, and there's all these issues. Now I'm going to take the other side of it today, which seems very appropriate, right, to be balanced, and now to talk about ministers and talk about leaders. You know, leaders are finite. They're not infinite. Pastors, our parents, you know, people in authority, we're not perfect. We as leaders, we need sacrifices just like Aaron did. You know, we need accountability. Just the idea from yesterday, respecting your pastor, doesn't mean that he gets away with everything. You guys understand what I'm saying? You know, respecting your pastor doesn't mean that he has the right to do whatever he wants to do. No. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? And I mean, amongst, you know, many of my friends that are pastors, I would say none of us, we really think that way. And so it's important for us to recognize, and also on the other front too, you know, it doesn't mean that every teaching from a minister, right, is necessarily gospel. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? You know, even in my own life, you know, as I've grown in the Lord and as I've grown understanding the scripture, I mean, there's in 20 years of ministry, I mean, there's a lot of views that have changed, to be perfectly honest. You know, there are many things that I've not necessarily, well, I mean, really retaught. I'll give you a famous example. For me personally, for a long time, you know, I mean, I was a real fire and brimstone kind of preacher for many years. And so I would use the Revelation passage, you know, in 3, where it says you've, you know, basically that you are neither hot nor cold, and since you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. You know, and when I was a youth pastor, I used to teach our youth group kids that, you know, either be hot for God or you just be cold and just run away from him. Don't be in that middle place. So that's actually a total misrepresentation of the passage. You know, and in my youthly zeal and in my, you know, kind of elementary understanding of the passage, I mean, we can read into that and say, okay, you know, I can make excuses, but I'm not going to. You know, and then when you get a better reading of the scriptures and, you know, more understanding and more wisdom and all these things, then it changes a bit. And that's why, you know, we always talk about here at SP, when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to theology, we should always come with humility. Really simply put, we shall always come to the scriptures with humility. And so, I mean, there's a lot of these passages I could talk about, but it's okay. But the simple idea that even ministers, they don't have carte blanche to do whatever they want, nor is their teaching a direct revelation from God. Do you know how cults begin? I mean, really simply put, they usually have some kind of crazy beginning of this. There's a big, probably the biggest cultic movement out of Korea right now. You may have heard of it. It's called the Ansung movement. And they're gaining traction all over the world. I mean, it's really amazing. And it's basically this leader. This is a Korean pastor. I don't know if he's a pastor or he's a leader of some sort. And he actually died eating ramyun. This is a true story. I mean, this is why you can't make this stuff up. He died eating ramyun. And his wife just basically wanted to deify him, and so she did. And this movement has millions of followers all over. It's actually wreaking havoc in Cambodia right now. And this is why I'm aware of it, because I have friends there that are ministering. And it's just crazy. And what happens is cults begin, usually maybe have a very good beginning. Jim Jones, David Koresh, all those guys start out good beginnings. And then down the road, they receive revelation from God that were unscriptural. And it superseded the scriptures. And then that's basically how a cult is born. And then they become exclusive and all these things kind of happen. And so I think there's got to be a very keen awareness that, even teaching, even for me as a Bible teacher, that the teaching comes under scrutiny. Now, I have no issue with that. I have no issue with people coming up to me and asking me, where is that from? Or can you qualify, what you just said? I'm totally at ease with that, right? I mean, that's what you should do. Paul begin to, as he's speaking and making his case for Christ, Paul went out of his way to commend this group of people called the Bereans. And because they searched the scriptures to look for truth, and he really commended them. And so that should be something that we should also attain to, in our own lives. Now, if you don't have an authority issue and you can bring it with gentleness and respect, I think you can have a great dialogue. Now, you got some major issues. That's a whole different issue altogether and things. But it's this system, the Hebrew system that he lays out for people, right? That even the priests, they also need salvation. And that's really important for us to understand. That's why Jesus, he is the great high priest. Hebrews 10, talks about that his sacrifice is once and for all. Him who knew no sin, he wasn't like the other high priests. He was totally different than them. And it really, it comes into the supremacy of Christ, when it deals with the issues of our salvation and with our sin. And so what happens, through this? I mean, we could spend a lot of time dealing with that, but so what happens? Aaron makes his own sacrifice. Aaron lays down his and repents, and he takes care of his own issues, before he takes care of the issues of the people. This is a good word for leaders. This is a good word for leaders. That you make sure that you take care of yourself before you take care of others. I talked about it a little before. It's like, when we travel on a plane, and the plane is decompressing, and I hope I'm never in this situation, but when those little what do they call it, air masks come down, and then it's the you know the I mean if you pay attention to the video before your flight, it's always the same thing. Do yourself before you go help somebody else, right? Put on your own oxygen mask before you help somebody else. And it, I mean, it, no, I don't want you to get absolutist about it. It doesn't mean, okay, I can't minister to anyone. No, that's not what I'm saying. But make sure that we come to some, place of freedom before that we go and try to help someone else come into freedom. I mean, we're all wounded healers, okay? And so it's not like there's a place that we're going to be so free. I mean, I think we can be in Christ, but just have wisdom. You know, I'm always reminded when Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he says that you guys are so messed up. I mean, this is my paraphrase, okay? You guys are so messed up. You travel around the world and you make to make a convert, and then you make him twice the son of hell that you are. And there's something, you know, about that when you're so bound and you're so messed up, that whatever disciples that you make are going to carry that same anointing, in a sense. They carry the same, not the exact same issues, right? But there's going to be a replication, you know? And that's why Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In other words, as Christ has changed and transformed me, that transformation is going to flow, you know, through Paul's own life, and it continues on. Okay, so let me move to another thought now. So, these things happen. They sacrifice before the Lord. I mean, it's great, fantastic. And then God comes, and this is throughout scriptures, this was the seal of God's approval. They laid the sacrifice, and then the fire of God came down on the sacrifice. Think about that. Throughout history, scriptures, Genesis to Revelation, God coming down in fire was a sign of his approval. It was a sign that I accept this sacrifice. Now, I want to relate that now to, you know, to God coming down with the Holy Spirit and fire in that same way. When Holy Spirit comes upon us, when we are being filled with the Holy Spirit, and remember, it's what they call a present tense imperative. It's something that should be constantly happening. What that is, it's a sign of God's approval over our life. And he just says, man, I love you, I approve of you. And then he gives us his Spirit. He rejoices in the sacrifice that we offer to him. That's a pretty significant statement for us. So in a way of saying, you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you also have God's approval over your life. Very, very, very simply stated. Right? And him continually coming into our life in the power of the Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit and fire, man, that's a continual reminder. I mean, greater than a reminder, a continual refreshing of God that he loves you and that he approves of you. And God comes down. And so what did the people do? They shouted, and they fell on their faces before the Lord in worship. All right, so let's close our eyes today. Are you struggling with God's approval or something to that effect? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Just open your heart up to him. Let him come down and just love you and just empower you. And just remind you that you're his son, that you're his daughter. And then change and transform you. This morning as we worship and as we pray, just ask the Holy Spirit to come and just touch us this morning.
to the sky.
Let's pray this morning. Let's ask for, especially if you're in this place and you're struggling with the idea of God's approval in your life right now, just pray for Holy Spirit to come. Pray that He would take your sacrifice and just consume it with His presence. Just spend a moment and just ask for the presence of the Spirit. Just flood our hearts and our minds, our very lives. Let's just ask Him to come. Let's pray for our community, and in particular, let's pray for our friends and family members that are battling cancer, going through chemo, recovering from surgery. Let's pray for God's healing hand upon their lives, and just real encouragement and comfort from the Lord to family members as well. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that God would touch them, bring people around them to minister to them, and that they would find salvation in Christ alone, also healing for their bodies. Pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer, where the illness is. So let's lift them up. Let's cover our community that's looking for work. Now let's pray for God's provision in their life. Go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Hong Kong, and let's pray over all the demonstrations, and let's cover all the students. Let's pray that there would be some good result from all these talks, and let's just ask God's hand to be upon them. So on a mission focus, let's pray for North Korea, South Korea, and Japan. Let's pray for North Asia. Ask God's hand to be upon them. Pray for Chris and the community working there. Or pray for a possible future church plan in Seoul. Pray for Pastor Mitsunobu and Pastor Sophia, who is in Australia right now, finishing up and on her way to Hong Kong from her training. Let's just ask God to breathe life into these three countries. Let's pray for IP, Well, and Cascade. Let's pray for our leaders in these ministries, Matt, Rachel, Pastor Ricky. Pray for all the volunteers. Pray for every meeting as they gather together that significant ministry and healing and anointing would take place. Let's cover. Pray for our men and women's ministries. So let's thank the Lord for just a great men's retreat last weekend. Pray for a good follow-up. The guys would just continue to bond and connect with each other. Pray for the women as they prepare in launching their ministries as well. And let's lift them up. Let's lift up our outreaches going out tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights. Pray for our wonderful women that are going out. Pray for all the moms that are baking as well. Pray for the homeless outreach tonight as well. Pray for Holy Spirit to really continue to build real solid relationships and really minister to people in need. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Let's pray for Austin, Soho, Robin Hood, pray Holy Spirit will just lead and guide each of the meetings as we talk about hearing God's voice, and that they would practice it tonight and really minister to each other effectively. Lord, we thank you, God, for this wonderful day, this Thursday that you've given to us. We pray, Lord, that we would just be continually filled with your Spirit, God, with your acceptance, your approval out over our lives, God, that we run this race, Lord, not for ourselves, not for anyone else, Lord, but for you, God. And so you are the audience of one in our lives, Father. And so thank you, God. Watch over us this day. Lord, as we give Jesus everything that we have, God, we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.